The Washington, D.C. Superior Court system consisted of 117 sitting trial court judges. Their primary task was to assure an impartial administration of justice, the kind that was supposed to be at the heart of every civilized society. Fairness and balance were the cornerstones of impartiality. In the criminal courtroom, fairness required the avoidance of surprise. Balance meant equal respect for the interests of all concerned, the accused, the victim, and the public. Without fairness and balance, the ability to distinguish between accused and victim might prove unclear, as would maintaining the civilized character of our society. Judge Cyrus Brooks had always thought of himself as among the best of those 117 active judges. Lately, however, he was beginning to wonder whether he was still up to the task. If a man was arrested for robbing a convenience store, it was clear who the accused was, who the victim was, and what the public craved: upholding peace and order. Simple and straightforward, right? Easy for any disciplined and competent judge to impartially manage his courtroom to achieve the correct outcome. Right? But what if the accused had been down on his luck, destitute, try as he had, unable to find a job? What if all he had been doing when caught was stealing a loaf of bread and a carton of milk to feed his kids? After he had already exhausted his food stamps for the month, with 10 days to go? What if he wasn't carrying a weapon when he entered the convenience store? But the proprietor was, and hadn't hesitated to use it. Once upon a time, if you were unhappy about things, you wrote your congressman. If he ignored you, then you didn't vote for him the next time around. You voted for the other guy. Maybe you even campaigned for the other guy. But what if the problem you were unhappy about was your congressman? What if you thought he wasn't doing his job? Worse, what if you thought he was on the take, corrupt? And what if the other guy was just as bad? Then what? Brooks knew you couldn't just take matters into your own hands, go out and shoot someone just because you were unhappy with something, let alone shoot a whole bunch of people, people you didn't even know. Or could you? More and more, there were those today who seemed quite willing to do precisely that, to kill complete strangers just because. That was the crux of what had been troubling Brooks of late. What if one of those alleged killers was arrested and assigned for trial to his courtroom? Could he still assure the accused, the families of the victim, or victims, and the people of D.C. that he remained able to impartially administer a fair and balanced trial? Could he genuinely suppress his personal views in the face of everything else going on in our society today? Easy to ask the questions, not so easy to answer them. Once upon a time, Brooks had no trouble remaining impartial and objective when presiding over his courtroom, at all costs and under all circumstances, subordinating his own personal views whenever running his courtroom, no matter what. Of late, however, Brooks was finding it more and more difficult to achieve that necessary impartiality. He wondered if his recent doubts and concerns suggested it was time for him to step down from the bench, to retire, to pass the baton to someone else. Perhaps he had already waited too long.